It is. 11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores,
goal.
Scoring the goals.
Yes, hello everybody, welcome along to the League Podcast. My name's Lee Phelps. Pete Farris is on the line to preview six championship matches. Pick a best bet in League 1, a best bet in League 2. We'll have both teams to score a double, which we'll probably lose. And then we'll both pick a nap each. You well, Pete?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Fresh from jinxing Chesterfield's Wembley visit.
Well, absolutely, it was all my fault.
Can't believe you.
For anyone who watched it, they actually played very well. It was just a game that they just... There was just a key moment, obviously, Joe Newell got sent off, and it looked like they were getting back into the game, and then that one penalty, and it was kind of done. But it was a fascinating game, and it was a great day out, and enjoyed it immensely, yeah.
Great day out for the fans. It is a tremendous place to go. Leicester versus Sheffield Wednesday is where we start. This is a Friday night game. 4-9, Leicester. 3-1 the draw and 6-1 the price for Sheffield Wednesday to win at the champions elect. Leicester City on 86 points, Burnley on 79 points. Sheffield Wednesday, after all those troubles that they've had this season, now on 48, so a good 13 points clear of the drop zone and season over for them. All about planning for next season and watching, see who gets contracts for next season, etc., etc. If they continue their away form the way they have been doing, Pete, they'll get a bit of a pace in here.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that obviously they lost 4-1 and Stuart Gray actually wasn't there, was he, for Sheffield Wednesday's
last game? No, he wasn't. His son was getting married, wasn't he?
His son was getting married, which was part of the initial deal all those months ago that he went to that.
Maybe that's why it took so long to get him to sign on the dotted line.
Possibly so, yeah, but that's I kind of love that, don't you?
Yeah, you've only got one son. There'll be more than one club.
Well, you might have more than one.
You know what I mean?
You might have more than one.
You get me though. You get my choice. Even saying he might only get married once is not true. He might get married twice, but, you know, it's his son, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a fair decision, I think it's okay to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, obviously they went on and were absolutely pasted by Watford, weren't they? Leicester have struggled a little bit recently. When struggled is the wrong word. They've stuttered a little bit. I think when the end's in sight and there's no one massively behind you, it's not really a surprise to see you sort of just strutting slowly but surely towards the conclusion. And Nigel Pearson has said he doesn't want that. He's going to try and fire them up, and that's absolutely fair enough. But at the same time, it's kind of natural to be that way. Sheffield Wednesday, though, away from home recently, that's been kind of predominantly their problem, hasn't it? Three back-to-back losses. Mm. They've not looked right. They've not really scored goals away. And off the back of that 4-1 pasting, it might feel a little bit of the momentum they were building, or certainly a little bit of the comfort they were building, has kind of gone. Now, the 4-9 for Leicester is perfectly fine by me. I couldn't argue with that for a second. It's a shame, obviously, for Leicester there's no Jamie Vardy in this market, because he's been in absolutely blistering goal-scoring form, hasn't he, of late. The man I think I'd look to instead would probably be Chris Wood. Now, Chris Wood, as we know, was phenomenal a little while ago, and a lot of clubs were looking at Chris Wood and saying, are we going to take the punt? Are we going to take the punt? And then eventually Leicester just came in and just kiboshed everyone with a big offer, didn't they? And then went Chris Wood. Now, his goal level this season hasn't been perfect. It's only, I think it's 4 or 5 in 20-odd games. He's not had a good year, but it has certainly improved a great deal since mid-February. He's got 5 goals since mid-February. He's starting to play more. He's getting his eye in. And I think even money for Chris Wood is probably a pretty good way in. In terms of what Leicester are going to do in this game, I actually expect them to basically come back to life. Now, Sheffield Wednesday, can't be too critical of them from what was expected of them pre-season, from what was happening to them at the beginning of the season, to be where they are now is a fantastic, fantastic result. But again, despite that 1-1 draw against Yeovil, you are still looking at a Leicester side who, generally speaking, are scoring rafts of goals at home. So knowing that Sheffield Wednesday are struggling to score on the road, knowing that Leicester are doing very, very well at home, generally speaking, minus a goal at 23-20 was my final resting place on the game.
Very good. Let's have a look at the next TV game. This is Wigan versus Leeds. 11-20 the price for Wigan. The draw is 11-4, and Leeds United are priced up at 9-2. Things not getting much better for Leeds at the moment. That one solitary win against Millwall is the only win that they've had since the 8th of February when they beat Yeovil. And in actual fact, they've only won three games since the 14th of December, which is a terrible run of form. 4-1 at Bournemouth, they lost 2-1 at Doncaster Rovers last week, and then lost again at home to threatened is when you're threatened while being throttled, which is probably about right with Leeds. Can they go to Wigan, who look like a good playoff bet at the moment, Pete? Can get anything?
They do. I mean, how do you back Leeds in this scenario?
It's hard to know.
Obviously, a 93rd-minute penalty missed by Ross McCormack. And also, as much as I love Brian McDermott, some strange decisions. I mean, Eddie White going to right back, the right wing, then it just these little things. Jimmy Kebbe, it's not really working for him. Luke Murphy not getting a huge look in when I think, in terms of getting the ball down and improving the kind of the method of passing and the quality of passing, which has looked weak. Leeds would benefit from him immensely. Michael Tong doesn't look right, despite a good performance the other day. He still doesn't quite look right when he does feature. It's a mess, and I can't back it. Why would I?
Mm.
Why would I? On the other side, of course, Wigan. I mean, Uwe Rosler said that the game against Leicester was what he called a bonus game. Nobody expected them to win it. They didn't win it. They drew 2-2, but were leading until 3 minutes before the end and that Hammond goal. So you got all this in their favour. The one thing that in the end I settled on here, Lee, was a Wigan win, which 11-20 isn't any great shakes. But Wigan and both teams to score is 11-4. And that was what really caught my eye here. Because when you look at it, Leeds, we know the quality they've got. They've got the best goal scorer in the league, of course. Everyone's gone on about Ings and Vokes this season, and rightly so. But Ross McCormack is the league's top goal scorer. So they've got this phenomenal striker. And they have been scoring away from home. I mean, that's the other thing as well. They've only struggled to score in three away games since, I think, the end of November. So they do score goals. And they are an impressive side on the road in that regard in front of goal. But they can't defend. And it isn't really working. And they brought Jack Butland in, who's a fantastic goalkeeper, but he can't do it all on his own. Jason Pearce has had a good season, but it's the people around him that haven't been settled. So for me, in the end, I couldn't help but look at Wigan in this run as probably being safe now. I've got to say, I think the top two are safe. I think third, fourth, fifth, QPR, Derby, Wigan are all playoff teams. I think there's one space left, and that's the space that Reading are currently in. But Uwe Rosler is not going to want to give up a second's worth of that momentum. Not a second's worth. Wigan and both teams to score 11-4.
Yeah, that looks fair enough. Next up, let's have a look at Doncaster Rovers versus Birmingham City. 5-4, Donny. 11-5, the draw, and Birmingham are priced up at 2-1. Already mentioned Doncaster Rovers' Yorkshire Derby win over Leeds United, which obviously did them the world of good. They are now in 18th position, 3 points ahead of Birmingham, who are on 40 points in 20th. So 5 points clear of the drop zone, Birmingham. But they'll be a little bit nervous. 5 points, a decent cushion, but they have played two more games than Charlton and a game more than Barnes at the moment, Pete. And you know, you look at their away form, it's not bad, is it? I mean, they don't draw many games away from home in recent times. So that's, in my mind, that's, I'd prefer that. I'd rather you win one, lose two, because, you know, at least you're getting 3 points on the board every now and again. What about Donny? The home form's pretty good, isn't it, over the last six or seven?
It's very good. Unbeaten at home since Boxing Day, Lee. 5-4 for Doncaster Rovers looks fantastic. Birmingham are collapsing. And they're falling and they're falling and they're falling. And I mean, you look at their form. Yes, they did win, of course, the other day. They got a draw against Burnley recently as well. But they beat Millwall 3-2 in a tight game way at Millwall. So Birmingham have been struggling. That's the issue I think you've got to look at here. And they are becoming perilously close to the drop. Only 5 points, of course, away from third bottom Barnsley. But Barnsley do have a game in hand. If Barnsley win that game in hand, all of a sudden, Birmingham will be looking behind themselves, panicking. Charlton have got two games in hand behind them. So all of a sudden, Birmingham are right in this mire. They are right in it. And they can't do much. I mean, don't forget, at times at the beginning of the season, they were great at home, bad away. Then they got, over sort of course of like November-ish, they got really good away from home, Birmingham. They found their form. But now, yet again, they're not quite right. And you look at the way Doncaster Rovers are playing. You're looking at Chris Brown and the way that he's scoring at home at the moment. Four of the last six, Brown scored in. And yes, Birmingham have won three of the last seven away, which is not... three of the last six away, which is not a dreadful thing. But they've won at Millwall, Blackpool and Charlton. So you say, well, Pete, they've won games against teams who are quote-unquote weak. Charlton, Blackpool, Millwall. But Doncaster Rovers at home aren't weak. That's the point I'm trying to make. At home, since you said they don't lose a lot recently at home, they aren't weak. And when they've gone to stronger sides, Ipswich, very good at home, lost there, Birmingham. Went to Watford, lost there. Went to Sheffield Wednesday, lost there. Doncaster Rovers at 5-4 become, I think, a fantastic outright bet. And the other one worth looking at here is Chris Brown at 6-4. Like I said, scored in 4 of the last 6 games at home and is looking so, so sharp in front of goal. And if you combine those two in an anytime goal scorer win cast, you can get 13-5. Brown to score, Doncaster win. But for me, the 5-4 for Donny is... it's a very, very handsome-looking bet with that home form.
Charlton-Reading next, 15-8 Charlton. The draw is priced up at 21-10, and Reading are 7-5. We mentioned that result for Charlton, of course, which lifted them up to 38 points from their 37 games. So games in hand and out of the drop zone. Their away form was decent. Beat Forest 1-0, beat Leeds 1-0. Home... they lost to Burnley, no problem. Beat Bournemouth, drew at Huddersfield, beat QPR. Decent form, really, Pete. Reading occupying that sixth spot in the division. Their away form has been great. Scoring goals and largely winning games.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. Reading's problems are at home, aren't they? That's where Reading's problems lie. It's a really strange game, this one, Lee, because Charlton, of course, have dispatched QPR at home recently, but have also, of course, lost to Burnley. But Burnley are... Reading are much more like a QPR than they are a Burnley. Not in terms of their style, Reading, but in terms of how they've played and how they've performed this season. And like you say, the way they've been scoring, they hit 3 at Millwall, 3 at QPR, 4 at Leeds. They won 2-1 against Birmingham away from home. And they've lost to Ipswich, which is actually no great shame. And as well as Charlton have been playing, of course, were fantastic and ground out a win against Leeds, but a great win against Forest, great win against Bournemouth, and losing to Derby and Burnley in between isn't massively scary for them, because they're not the teams they've got to take points from. They've got Yeovil yet to come, they've got Barnsley yet to come, they've got Bolton yet to come, Sheffield Wednesday, they finished the season against Blackpool, they've got so many important games, and they've brought good players. I always struggle with this one. Gunnar Chanahad is, I think, the pronunciation of the Iranian, has looked lively in those games that he's been involved in. So all of a sudden, under the new boss, they are beginning to look so much better, Charlton. However, I am actually going to have to side this week with Reading. I think 7-5 for a team who are scoring in the way they are scoring away from home. And if you look at Charlton at home as well of late, didn't score against Birmingham, didn't score against Huddersfield, didn't score against Burnley, only got one against QPR and one against Bournemouth. I'm not decrying that because they're great results. But if you're trying to beat Reading at home, really the rule is you have to try and outscore them. And I can't see really how Charlton outscore them this weekend. So I felt the 7-5 for Reading was very, very strong indeed. And another one for you. Appreciate that Charlton don't contribute a huge amount of goals at home of late, but over 2.5 goals in the match is 6-5, which I also think is very, very solid indeed.
Let's have a look at our penultimate championship fixture, which is Watford versus Burnley. 6-5 Watford, 12-5 the draw. Burnley are priced up at 11-5. This is Burnley, who are second in the table, of course, 9 points clear of the top playoff team, which is QPR, and now 7 points adrift of Leicester. So they'll be happy to go up in second position, no doubt. The home form for Watford has been really, really good since the turn of the year. Really, they've had since Boxing Day, they've only had one defeat at home, and that was to Reading. And all of a sudden, the goals are absolutely flying in for Watford. Put 4 past Blackpool, 3 past Burnley, Barnsley, and 3 past Blackburn, conceded 3 as well against Rovers. Burnley's away form, not much to argue about, Pete, really. There's a little bit of a pattern emerging where they win one, draw one, win one, draw one. This could be a high scorer because, Burnley don't exactly sit back. Nothing really to worry about, unless they really collapse. And Watford, the 6-8 points off the playoffs, it's very unlikely they'll get there. It's got a bit of a feeling of maybe just a nice day out, this one.
Well, a nice day out for a lot of Burnley's players, but not Danny Ings nor Sam Vokes.
No, true.
Both, of course, unavailable. The scariest strike partnership in the league. And, huge. It's likely the
plenty of goals from elsewhere, though, in their away games, aren't there?
In the last 6 away games, they have, without those goals, they'd have taken 6 points from those last 6 away games.
The bigger price for them.
Absolutely. As opposed to the 12 points they actually took. So that is huge for them. Yes, they've got some good players in there. You know, Kanky Tracy, for example, scored recently away, hasn't he, from home. And Ashley Barnes can be good. Ross Wallace can certainly contribute. So can Junior Stanislas if he needs to. But the thing for me here was that with Burnley coasting through a little bit, you know, they only need probably, you'd argue, three more wins at the very most. Ings will come back before the end of the season, you'd imagine. It's unlikely that Vokes will, although it's possible, it's unlikely. So this game, I think you put it very well, actually, a kind of a game of a nice day out, a bit of a feel of a nice day out, really. And I actually had to side with Watford in the end. Of course, they got a huge win the other day against Sheffield Wednesday. They hit four in that game. They hit three in the game against Blackburn. Okay, beaten 2-1 by Wigan, but hit three in the game against Barnsley. Now, I know that some of those teams, in fact, all those teams are worse teams than Burnley. But if you look at home recently, 4-3-3, they're scoring goals, and they're looking very, very solid at home, aren't they? The other way in is, of course, Troy Deeney. Bagged a very, very quick brace the other day. I think he's scored in the last three home games, hasn't he, Troy Deeney as well? He's been in very good form. He's 10 to 11 any time. People might just want to take him any time as opposed to an outright here. But I felt there was enough going against Burnley in this game to back against Burnley in this game. So I think the overall price, the 6 to 5 for Watford on the outright, looks very good. Without those two main men, it might just be as much a culture shock as a quality shock for Burnley at the weekend.
Final game we'll look at is Barnsley versus Brighton. Barnsley are priced up at 23 to 10, 21 to 10 the draw, and Brighton 23 to 20. Why do you pick this one, Pete?
Why do I pick this one? Well, there's been an upturn in form from Barnsley, hasn't there? That was pretty much it. I mean, the last time they won three games back-to-back in the league was February of 2013. It was Blackpool, Middlesbrough, and then Wolves, the three teams who they actually did that to. But away from home, last two games, they've hit three against Reading, four against Yeovil. They've been playing really good football, and while at home they've been struggling, the last two teams to go to them was a narrow win for Bournemouth and a loss against the best team in the league in Leicester. Now, Brighton are a good side. They are well organised, they are drilled. I know a lot of journos who've called them a little dull to watch this season, but who cares when you're only 3 points off the playoffs? You could probably call it four with a goal difference. I think Reading and them have got about 8 or 9 goal difference in Reading's favour. But you are still talking about a side in Brighton whose away form isn't exactly resplendent. We're looking at two wins in 2014 away from home. You're looking at Barnsley who are fighting for their lives. And remember what David Flitcroft did last season with them. There is a bit of a feel, you know, hearing Barnsley fans talk, there's a little bit of that kind of them against us, all for one, one for all musketeer attitude a little bit at Barnsley at the moment. They've got Chris O'Grady in good goal scoring form. They're looking very, very sharp. And Brighton aren't exactly phenomenal on the road. I looked at the price on Barnsley late and felt it was far too big. It is as simple as that. They've won back-to-back games. They've scored 7 goals in those two games. Admittedly, they've been away from home, but going home now with a huge boost in confidence for the fans as well as the players following those two massive wins, taking on a side who aren't phenomenal away from home, I felt was too big. I felt it was too big at 23-10, and I feel that the draw no better at 11-8 remains far, far, far too big.
60 hours of betting radio, week in, week out. Inplayradio.co.uk. Your eyes on a world of betting.
Let's get a League One and League Two best bet from Pete. Where are you going, Pete?
Well, this might, I was going to say annoy you, Lee.
It won't annoy me.
Yeah, there are a couple of very difficult ones in League One and League Two this weekend. I've got to say, of all the weekends, of all the weeks we've done this, this is the one that I have unquestionably struggled with the most, you know. I've spent a lot this morning. I managed to prep the championship part of it. I've been up since 7. I've prepped up it all pretty well and nice and easy, but it was just hard. In the end, though, despite the fact they're a team who are pushing for playoff places, I felt a draw in the Carlisle-Swindon game at 9-4 was eventually where I would land. Carlisle have drawn the last three home games at Brunton Park 0-0, 0-0 and 0-0. They've, in between all that, also drawn away at Tranmere 0-0. Swindon's away form sees 3 draws in 7 and quite a few draws generally this season. And I actually couldn't separate these two sides. Swindon are going to start panicking because they are losing ground on Peterborough, who won in the week as well. And they're going to start panicking. But Carlisle, if they come out away from this game with a draw, it could be a massive point. Yes, not to counter in great form. but they can might be able to squeeze just past Tranmere, who themselves have got a tricky game. So I think this could just well be one that simmers down for the draw.
Very good. League 2?
League 2 was slightly easier. Fleetwood at 8-5 was my pick in League 2. Obviously, you've got a new manager in Oxford, in Mr. Waddock, former Wickham manager, of course. But their form is bad. And yes, they got a win against Hartlepool, who themselves are beginning to struggle a little bit. But in between that, they lost at Chesterfield 3-0, Southend 3-0. And yes, the problems have come away from home for Oxford, whose home form is generally very good. But Fleetwood are themselves fighting for their lives to try and get into those automatic promotion places, which is still looking unlikely, but it's still absolutely possible. 5 points away from Chesterfield, 7 from Scunthorpe, and 9 from Rochdale. And they are flying, I think, a little bit at the moment, Fleetwood. And people might say, well, Pete, their form doesn't look like they're flying. It's, what, 3 wins from 6? It's not flying form. But they're scoring goals, they're looking good, and at the moment, Oxford, basically for me, aren't scoring. And while they are scoring at home, I think the issue begins, for me anyway, to root itself deeper within Oxford. So I'm happy to take Fleetwood at 8-5. The traders are obviously confused at how to price this up as well. Both outright wins, of course, are the 8-5 price, but give me it on Fleetwood any day.
Fair enough. The both teams to score double actually landed last week, 13-5, so you're welcome, everyone. It was Bristol City against Rotherham, and the other one was, it was Rotherham, Bristol City, and Crewe, Coventry. So both 8-13s, which is nice. I'm sticking with Bristol City this time and going with their game against Preston. 4 of the last 6 in both of these teams' matches of home and away have produced both teams scoring. It's 13-20, so it's short enough, but I think that one will land. And one that I thought I liked at even money was Forest versus Millwall. I think that's a little bit overpriced. I mean, Forest haven't scored in the last 2 games at home, so I can understand why people will be a little bit nervous about it, but not for the want of trying. Double figure shots on goal in both of those home matches against Donny and Charlton, so should and could have got goals, and before that they were scoring in every single home game, so I'm going to trust them to put an end to that little goal drought. And Millwall score and concede, don't score many away from home, but do score goals. Scored at Leeds, scored at Derby, scored at Yeovil, scored at Burnley, and do concede as well. So even money for that one just bumps up the price nicely on the 13-20, and you're getting just around the 3-1 mark for that one, which is decent. What about Naps, Peter? Last week, what did you go for?
Ipswich. They drew.
I went for... what did I go for in the end? I'm just looking to see what I went for, and I've just lost my page. I went for Sam Vokes to score, and it was they didn't score at all, did they? Burnley, which is annoying. Where are you going?
How many times has Sam Vokes been your nap? I mean, it's landed. So
it's landed a couple,
enough,
hasn't it?
It's been the fixture of your nap season, hasn't it?
I think I've landed 2 and missed 3. I think him and Ings have been a part of my.
Yeah.
I'm going to back one of them this weekend as well.
Well, that would be the worst idea ever. Doncaster.
Okay, just nap Doncaster. Well, it is a good place to go, in truth.
Listen, they're odds against. They have won 4 of the last 6 home games. They've drawn the other 2, which might not sound phenomenal. I think actually they've won actually 5 of the last 7 at home. They are looking so good at home, of course. Paul Dickov has been nominated for Manager of the Month. Birmingham have won 1 game in their last 7. They are struggling. They're conceding goals, and while they've won 3 of the last 6 away from home, including beating Charlton, Blackpool and Millwall, when they've gone to teams who are good at home, like Watford, like Ipswich, they've lost. I think 5-4 for Doncaster Rovers, who are throwing themselves, not even walking, they are sprinting away from that relegation zone at the moment. I think this could be a 3 points that actually nails them as non-relegation candidates this season. I really do. And I think that's the way that Paul Dickov has to look at it. And for me, Birmingham are in serious trouble, of course. They've had some problems off the field this season with Carson Young. It's been suggested that that doesn't affect the running of the club, and that's fair enough, but it filters down in some way. If not in terms of financially or in terms of who leads, but just in terms of what the feeling at the club is. And Birmingham are struggling. So odds against for Doncaster Rovers 5-4 is a cracker for me.
Very good, 5-4. Pete's on -75/-31, by the way. I'm on +63. I haven't had many winners of late. I'm trusting this one will win. Notwithstanding the fact that there's no Vokes and Ings, if I'm a Burnley player and my two top scorers are absent, that doesn't mean we go, oh, we're not going to get a goal now. It just means someone else steps up and they make sure that they aren't missed. I think this will be, as I described, I think this will be quite a nice game. I think it'll be an open game and I think there'll be plenty of goals. I think Watford will go for it. So I'm going over 2.5 goals, even money.
Oh, nice.
I like it a lot. I mean, I was honestly, I would have put that in, Pete, at 8 to 13. Honestly,
really?
I expected it to be. I was hoping it would be 8 to 13. Sorry, even money. Ah, oh, come to daddy. I like that price an awful lot. I mean, as we've said before, Watford are scoring goals for fun at the moment. 4-3, and then there was a 6-goal game against Blackburn. And as we know, Burnley, with or without the Ings-Vokes partnership, I think they'll still score at least one. Over 2.5 at even money is my nap of the week. Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, thank you very much, Lee. Cheers.
Pete will be appearing on William Hill's In Play Betting radio station, which, handily enough, is called In Play Radio. It's available at, handily enough, inplayradio.co.uk. We'll be back next week for more of the same. In the meantime, if you're having a bet on any of the Championship, League One or League Two action, then very best of luck.